God is good. We serve a good, good, good God. He's so good. He's so, so good. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit is here. Thank you for the great privilege we have of you being among us. I pray that your word, Father, will go forward and that it will accomplish that it was sent for. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for opening our ears, the ears of our understanding, and our eyes, that we may see you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Isaiah 55. Let's go there. And I'm reading right now from the New Living Translation. Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, "Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David." Well, verse 4 is good too. It says, "See how I use him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations." And that means that he wants the same for us, right? He wants to use us to display his power among the peoples and to be leaders among the nations. And God's been speaking to me about our tongue, about our mouth, and I was preparing this message, and then on Sunday I came and I got the bulletin, and I was like, oh, confirmation. And then after that, I was like just battling like bad. I was like, no, this is not what I'm supposed to preach. Everyone already knows this message. Everyone, you know, and all in the bulletin is really good, so they read it already, and so I don't need to be saying anything else, you know, and insist. So I was just, Monday, I was just praying and praying and praying, asking God, what do you want me to teach, Lord? And he's like, I already told you. I was like, okay, the tongue will be, yes, we need to. And we know that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love to talk will reap the consequences. That's in Proverbs 18:21. So we have power. We have been, you know, God created us with the same DNA that he has. You know, he created everything with the power of his mouth. He just spoke and it came to life. And we have that inside of us. So the death and the life is in the power of our tongue. So we need to watch what we say, you know, where it goes. And because sometimes we just speak without thinking. We just open our mouth. And I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And verse 11. The title in my Bible says, "The Choice of Life or Death." This command I'm giving you today, it's not too difficult for you to understand, and it's not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, "Who will go up to heaven and bring it down so I can hear it and obey it?" It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, "Who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey it?" No, the message is very close at hand. It is in your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. And nowadays, it's even closer. I guess Moses didn't have a clue how close it was going to be. You know that now you can access the Bible and the Word of God in your phone or in the computer or wherever you are. You can just access it immediately and it's there. The message is very close at hand. Verse 15 says, "Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. Then verse 19, it says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make, or that you will choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And I just thought, like, this relates a lot to Proverbs 18:21, because he's giving us the choice between death and life, between prosperity or disaster. And with what we declare, you know, we can declare life or we can declare death. We can declare prosperity, or whatever we say, you know, we will eat our words and it can be disaster. So we need to watch what we are saying. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Matthew 12:33. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. It's all in our heart. It all comes from our heart. And in Deuteronomy, we were reading also that it said that is close in our lips and in our heart. God has poured his spirit in our hearts. Well, it refers to our spirit. It's the innermost part, our deepest, you know, where God is living, where he's abiding, and his word is in there too. I know we don't have it memorized, but his word is inside of us. It says that, you know, John 1:1, it says that in the beginning, the word was God, the word was with God, and the word was God. And so it is deep inside of us. It's already there. But I feel that, you know, we live in a horrible world right now. It's getting worse and worse. And I feel that all that is around us has been pushing that down and distracting us. You know, that we've been copying the behavior of this world and trying to stay up to date with all the trends and shows and whatever is going on in this world, and whatever it throws at us, it just distracts us from what is deep within us. And we have adopted their customs and the language and the vocabulary that they use, and we are supposed to be doing the opposite. Romans 12:2, it says to be transformed, don't copy the behavior of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may know God's perfect and pleasant and good will. And so we are supposed to be doing the opposite. We are supposed to be going the opposite way. And it's just because we hear it every day, it's just inside of us. It's just in our minds, you know, and we say things without thinking about what we say, you know. And Eric and I correct each other with love, and well, it blesses me. But sometimes at the beginning, it's just like no one likes to be corrected. Everyone wants to be right, and you don't like being said, you know. You don't like being told that you did something, because at the beginning, it bothers us, and it's the pride that was inside of us and wants to rise. But so we constantly, you know, and I tell him, if you ever see me, you know, taking the left or the right and not keeping straight where I'm supposed, let me know. Just pull me back. Don't let me get as straight. astray. So, you know, for example, I will say, and it's not that it's wrong, but it's not true. I will say, like, oh, I'm starving. And he's like, you're not starving. And you know, it's probably it sounds silly or like, that's, but it's not true, you know. I mean, thank God I'm not starving. Thank God that I every day can have three meals, you know, that people don't. And so it's not true. I'm not supposed to. And if I keep on saying I'm starving, I'm starving, I'm starving, I mean, if that's what I'm declaring, then I'm going to get to a position where I, you know, I won't have and I will starve because that's what constantly I'm saying. And it's not true. It's not the word of God. And it's just people say it, but people of the world. And it's not the way we're supposed to be speaking. And for example, teenagers, when another teenager gets something like really cool, it's like, oh, I hate you, you know, like, and they don't really mean, they are not saying I hate you. It's just like, oh, instead of saying how cool, you know, and getting happy with the other person, it's like, I hate you. You know, you have that and I want it. And, you know, it's those kinds of words that, and even in the church, you know, I have heard it, you know, like, oh, I hate you. I just hate you. And we don't mean it, but we are not supposed to be speaking like that. We are not supposed to be talking like that. And another one like, oh, I die. I'm going to die, you know. It's stuff that shouldn't be in our vocabulary. It's language from this world. And so we need to check what's on our lips, what's coming out of our mouth. I'm going to just read some verses from Proverbs in two versions. You can just write them down and look them up later. Proverbs 4:24 says, avoid all perverse talk and perverse is contrary, difficult, unreasonable, uncooperative, unhelpful, or obstructive. Those are synonyms of perverse talk. So it says avoid all contrary, difficult, uncooperative, unreasonable, unhelpful, obstructive talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. The easy-to-read version says, don't bend the truth or say things that you know are not right. So if I know that it's not right for me to say I'm starving, I won't say it because it's not right. I'm just hungry. I'm very hungry, and I want to eat right now, but I'm not starving, thank God. Proverbs 10:32. Proverbs 4:24. And this Proverbs 10:32. The lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked, and wicked means morally wrong, guilty, or ungodly, speaks perverse words. So I ask myself, do I speak? I consider myself a godly person. And I was wondering, I was, you know, thinking to myself and examining my heart today, are my words helpful? You know, when I speak, people are edified, you know, they are helped because of what I said. The easy to read version says, good people know the right thing to say, but the ungodly say things to make trouble. You know, there's people, even Christians, that they just like to bug. They just like to make trouble. They're just like, you know, saying things just because. And we read in Matthew that we must give an account on Judgment Day for every useless word we speak. Yeah. Proverbs 14:3. Proud fools are punished for their stupid talk, but sensible talk can save your life. Proverbs 10:19 says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. I think that's a very good advice. And yes, it's true. You know, I like joking and stuff, and I'm not saying it's wrong. We can joke. God is a happy God, and he wants us to be happy and have fun. But we need to be careful how we joke, because when we are joking or speaking too much, then sin can come out of our mouth. Because, you know, when we know how to do I'm trying to translate it from Spanish, but it says that whoever does knows how to do good but doesn't do it is considered sin. So if we know, you know, that what we are saying is not right, let's not say it. Let's just be slower to speak. And the Bible says, you know, be slow to speak. We don't need to stutter, but, you know, be slow to think before we speak. 1 Timothy 4, and I'm just going to quote a little, a few verses from there. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's telling him in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he tells him, train yourself to be godly. It requires training. It doesn't happen overnight. We need to train ourselves. We need to work for it. We need to focus. When you train, you know, when you are like exercising, you can think that you are doing something, but if you are doing in the wrong position, you are doing it wrong. So you need to focus. You need to focus in what you're doing so it will produce what you're wanting, the goal you're wanting. So the same way, we need to train ourselves to be godly. It doesn't happen just because we come to church every once in a while. No, we need to every day work towards it. You know, people that go to the gym every month, they don't see results as fast as they want because, I mean, you know, they need to be there. They need to have a habit. In verse 12, he tells him, be an example to all believers in what you say. And notice that it says to the believers. I mean, how much more to the people that doesn't come to church? Verse 12, be an example to all the believers in what you say. Verse 16, it says, stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. So the people that hear listens to us, you know, are they getting saved or are they getting far from God, you know? What kind of example are we giving? You know, it says that for the sake of our salvation and the salvation of those who hear us. You know, and in what we say, we can try to justify ourselves. You know, like with Erica, we'll be like, well, I am very hungry. It's, no, or we can say, I was just joking, or it's a saying, or everyone says it, or, you know, we can justify ourselves in saying, I wasn't serious. Yes, I said it, but I wasn't serious. I didn't mean it. Yes, but the Word of God doesn't say that, you know. It says that what is in our heart, it's coming out of our mouth. So, well, we'll go there in a little bit. Proverbs 13, verse 3. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. And you know how many times things are going well, or you are praying for something, or you are standing in faith for something, and then you're like, ah, well, God just is not, you know, answering, or he's not going to do anything. You know, we need to just stand in faith, believing that he will come, yes, and shut our mouth. And because, you know, what if it was about to come and you just ruin it? You ruin everything because of what you said. So we need to control our tongue. I read this little paragraph in a devotional I was doing. Jamie Cox, I think, is the author. And I like that it says, if we decide to follow Jesus, the first mess we will encounter is our own. Of course, the messy details will differ from person to person. Some things are legal and others not. Some things are moral stigma about them, while others are winked at by our culture. What they all have in common is the potential to twist and grab the human spirit. It's just that some work more quickly than others, but they all eventually consume us. So we need to deal with the way we speak, otherwise it will eventually consume us. So we were saying that from the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. So that's why it's very important that we, in Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So why is God telling us, you know, you need to guard your heart above everything else, it says, above everything else, because from there it flows life. So we need to protect it from to junk it in there, because that's what is coming out of our mouth, and then it's a cycle. You know, it comes out, it gets in our heart, it gets in our minds, it comes down to our hearts, to our spirit, to our innermost. And then it flows out of our mouth, and we eat that. We eat what we speak, we eat. It says that is the fruit, that we will taste the fruit of what we speak. So the question tonight is, what's in your heart? What's in my heart? Why is it all this junk coming out of our mouth? What is in our heart? John 6:27. It says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Verse 32. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 34, sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Verse 27, what basically saying is, do not work for food that spoils. Stop being distracted with what this world is offering. Stop being distracted with everything that is around you and being fed, you know, with all that the world is offering. But for food that endures to eternal life. It says get fed with what I offer. You know, I am the bread of life, Jesus is saying. And he is the only one. He says that we will never go hungry again. So he is the one that satisfies. He's the one that brings true and complete satisfaction to our life. So if he fills up our life, then we won't be looking for anything else to satisfy us or just to distract us or entertain us. And what we entertain, you know, what we are, it's getting in our mind and it's coming down to our hearts. And then it gets contaminated, and that's when all that junk is coming out of our mouth, and we need to get detoxed. We need to get a detox. Detox. Yes, detox. And you know, it says it's work. But well, we were reading, I started with Isaiah 55, and it says that it's free. I want to read it again. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come and take your choice of wine and milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? You know, why? Why do you spend your time, waste your time, I should say. Why do you waste your time in this world, in distractions that this world is giving you? Why do you spend your money in food that does not give you strength? You know, that stuff that we're watching or that we are hearing or the conversations, all that is not satisfying us. It's not giving us the strength that we need. You know, when we eat junk food, yeah, you know, the hunger goes away, but it doesn't give you the strength that you need. It doesn't work like it should. It's junk. You know, if kids live out of chips and donuts and all that stuff, you know, it tastes good. It doesn't require any effort. You just buy it at the store. It's cheap, but it doesn't give you strength. And eventually, if that's only what they eat, they will get sick, you know. So junk will come out, you know. So in the same way, we cannot be getting entertained or filled up with junk from this world. We need the true bread that comes from heaven, that really satisfies, that gives us strength to live in this world. Why pay food for what does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. You know, why do I want to have chips if I can go to the buffet and get, like, good stuff? Like I was saying, you know, it takes work. Well, it's free, but it takes work. You know, like, to get into a buffet, you need money. It doesn't cost the same as getting chips. And so we need to read our word. We need to get filled up with the true bread from heaven. Jesus, this is Jesus. This is the bread from heaven. This is the word of God. This is God himself, his word, that wants to fill us up with all that he is. And if he is filling us up, if we are reading this book, these living words, if we are reading this, it will give us life. We need to meditate on it, not just read it. You know, sometimes I read stuff and, you know, and sometimes I feel God, like, go back and read it. You know, and it needs to become a revelation. It needs to reveal. We need to meditate on it so it comes down from our head into our heart. And then it gets stored up in there. You know, we need to digest it. We need to let it renew our minds. We need to let it sink into our hearts so that every time I speak, every time I open my mouth, I'm being a blessing to God and to others. I'm inspiring someone else to live a better life. I'm edifying someone else's life. I'm pointing others to Jesus. I'm bringing healing to their bodies by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me, because his word heals. His word has power. So if I'm filled up with the word of God and that's what's coming out of my mouth, then people will be healed. People will feel renewed. People will be set free. You know, it will transform their lives if his word is coming out of my mouth. You know, it all comes down to what the word of God says. You know, it doesn't matter if the president or, you know, whoever said it. We cannot stand on that, on what whoever said, or so-and-so, or, you know, my mom taught me, and my grandma said. It doesn't matter if it's not in the word of God. If it doesn't stand in the word of God, we cannot live by it, because I'm going to tell you something. There's two kinds of people. Matthew 7, verse 24. 7:24, it says, whoever hears these teachings of mine and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, which is Jesus. It rained hard, and floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, but it did not fall because it was built on the rock. Whoever hears these teachings of mine and does not obey them, it's like a foolish man who builds a house on the sand. It rained hard and floods came and the wind blew and beat against the house and it fell with loud crash. You know, so if people is building their lives based on what whoever said or my mom taught me, you know, and it's not in the word of God, it will blow and it will destroy it. You know, at the end it will come down. At the end it will be destroyed. And it will fail. But if it's based on the word of God, then, you know, he is the rock. Jesus is our rock. And Jesus is the word of God. So it will prevail. It will stand firm forever. So we need to stir up our hearts and know that he has deposited inside of us. Let it spring up to bless those that are around us. Proverbs 13:18. It says, if you ignore criticism, you will end in poverty and disgrace. If you accept correction, you will be honored. So, like I was saying, sometimes we don't like it. It doesn't feel good at the moment. But then if we chew on it and you know, all that we get from people, we need to bring it back to God and ask him, is this you, God? And he will confirm, you know, yes, it is me, or no, you can just spit it out and go on with your life. Because people, you know, people are people. People, you know, we're flesh and we're not perfect. So sometimes we can say something because, you know, we feel that God said or whatever, and it may not be it. So we don't have to stand on that. We always need to double check with God and have a confirmation. But You know, let's not ignore when someone is correcting us or pointing something out. Let's just accept correction, and then we will be honored. To close, I want to go to Psalm 141, verse 3. You know what? I'm sorry. We'll close with that, but I want to go to, I had here, but I had skipped it. Deuteronomy, thank you, 30, verse 10. It says, "The Lord your God will delight in you if you obey his voice and keep his commands and decrees written in this book of instruction, the word of God. And if you turn to the Lord with all your heart and soul," you know, sometimes it says all your heart and soul, and our soul is our mind and our heart is our spirit. So it says that God will delight in us if we are listening, if we are seeking him, seeking his word, and we turn to it with all of our heart. Because sometimes we hear stuff, and yeah, God has our heart. We say, yes, my heart is God's, and my mind is his, and I love him. You know, it says to love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our everything that we are. And sometimes we think God has all of our heart, but sometimes he doesn't really. You know, we think, but we don't mean it. You know, there's parts of our heart that we haven't let him go in. We have, you know, doors there like, oh no, yes, God, I love you, but don't touch this. You know, this, you know, we don't let him in. And it says that he will delight enough if we obey everything and if we turn to the Lord with all of our heart. So all of it, if we want him to delight in us, we need to turn everything towards him. Not just parts, but all of our heart, all of our soul, that our mind is focused and our thoughts are turned towards him. You know, we live for him. It's all for him. And now, ahora sí, we're going to close with Psalm 141, verse 3. And it's a prayer from David, and I want us to pray this tonight. David told God, "Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips." And I will say, I will add to that, guard our hearts. So, you know, nothing will come in that doesn't edify, that is not supposed to be there. So why don't we stand? Father, first of all, we want to ask you for forgiveness for every idle word, every useless word that has come out of our mouths that hasn't edified you, hasn't glorified you, Lord, and it hasn't edified or helped others to point them towards you, towards Jesus, because that's what we are supposed to be doing, Lord, pointing people towards you. We ask you for forgiveness when we haven't been an example to other believers in what we say, Lord. We ask you that you will forgive us, Lord, for everything that we have said that it doesn't come from you and it doesn't glorify you, Lord. We give you all of our heart tonight, Lord. We give you our lips. And we ask you, Lord, like David, take control of what we say and guard our lips and guard our hearts, Lord. They belong to you, Lord. And we tonight turn off every distraction. And everything that comes from the world, we just want to be focused on you, Lord. Help us, Jesus, to be focused just on you, that we may be a blessing when every time we speak, that we can bring others to you, Lord. That everything that we say comes from our heart for what you have deposited in it, Lord. From what you, Lord, have deposited in our heart, that will come out. And that many, Lord, many can come to the knowledge of you, Lord. That lives can be healed and filled up because of what we say. Lead our lips, Holy Spirit, we ask you that you will touch them tonight. Touch them tonight with your Holy Spirit, with your fire. We ask you to consume everything that doesn't belong to you, everything that doesn't glorify you. Consume it, Lord. Consume it tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you immediately tell us every time we say something that we were not supposed to, that we can just immediately ask for forgiveness to whoever heard it, Lord. That we edify, we choose life tonight, Lord. We choose life. We choose life and we give the back to death, and we choose prosperity, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen.